Good morning and welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral and our celebration of the Eucharist on this second Sunday of Lent. You can find today's worship aid online in the cathedral's website, which is www.stpatrickscathedral.org/live. You can also find most of today's music in the blue St. Michael's hymnals in the pews in front of you. Please now, our celebrant this morning is His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop of New York. Please rise and sing our entrance hymn, which can be found on page 799 in the blue St. Michael's hymnal. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here.
The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. And welcome to Sunday Mass here at America's Parish Church, St. Patrick's Cathedral. We welcome those who unite with us in prayer this Sunday morning on the Catholic Faith Network and the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129, and our own live stream. And I'm particularly grateful to welcome two special visitors. This is Fridolin Cardinal Ambango, who is the Archbishop of Kinshasa in the Dominican Republic of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Your Eminence, you are sure welcome. And the Most Reverend Eamon Martin, who's the Archbishop of Armagh, the successor of St. Patrick, the Primate of Ireland, who will be with us at Mass tomorrow. My brothers, how welcome you are to St. Patrick's Cathedral. Thank you. Thank you for your company. That we might offer this holy sacrifice of the Mass the more worthily, we call to mind our sins. We ask for the mercy of Jesus on the cross. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us all to life everlasting.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Christe eleison.
Christe.
Let us pray. O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your holy word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so," he added, "shall your descendants be." Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." "O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abram brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other, but the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You.
And with your spirit.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord. There you go, sweetheart. Thanks.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh boy.
Welcome once again, everybody, to St. Patrick's Cathedral for Mass on the second Sunday of Lent. The mystery of the transfiguration of Jesus and the message of St. Patrick, two awesome features this Sabbath morning, as we hear once again, as we always do on the second Sunday of Lent, the gospel episode of the transfiguration of Jesus, and as we anticipate our patronal feast of St. Patrick tomorrow. The transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Tabor. God the Father reveals Jesus as God the Son to Peter, James, and John, and is radiantly changed, charged, transfigured with dazzling light. And St. Patrick, the patron of Ireland, this city, this archdiocese, and this magnificent cathedral. Now, you all know the epic of St. Patrick, right? A Roman citizen, a victim of human trafficking, kidnapped as a teenager from his home in England, drugged to Ireland in chains, left abandoned on desolate, rainy hills to tend sheep. And yet, during that exile, he learned much about his Irish captors. And he actually learned to love them. So much so that when he did escape to return home, he would still hear the whispers of the people from that isle called Emerald, please to come back. This time to come back to Ireland as a slave of Christ, a shepherd of souls, a priest, a bishop, a missionary, an apostle, an evangelist, a saint. Patrick had concluded that only the light of Christ, highlighted at the Transfiguration, could heal an island he had found to be bleeding from five wounds. Wound number one, it wasn't that the Irish did not believe in God. Oh no, just the opposite. They happened to believe in hundreds of them. All of them, of course, false. As on Mount Moriah, God revealed himself as the one true God to Abraham, and as at the Transfiguration, the one true God revealed himself to Peter, James, and John, well, so did Patrick preach that one true God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the people of Ireland. Wound number two, the pantheon of false gods in Ireland were usually, and nothing rare in this, this is kind of true of as we study all ancient religions, the pantheon of false gods in Ireland were usually vicious, fickle, bloodthirsty, angry. Again, as God the Father revealed himself in and through his Son, Jesus, at the Transfiguration, Patrick would preach that God's own Son had actually become one of us, showing us the face of his Father, a God ever loving, merciful, healing, helping, compassionate. Wound number three, the Irish, again, like most ancient cults, believed that their false gods could only be satisfied by blood, the brutal sacrifices of animals, and even human sacrifices. Again, as God the Father would reveal to Abraham, and as God the Father revealed at the Transfiguration, hinting at the upcoming passion and death, did you get that? Hinting at the upcoming passion and death of his son in Jerusalem, no more blood sacrifices were necessary. Why? Because his only begotten son, his beloved son, would himself be sacrificed, pouring out his precious blood on a rock called Calvary, rendering any further blood offerings stupid, useless, and an insult to the one true God. Wound number four. I'm afraid the tribes of Ireland could be somewhat violent. Out for blood, to avenge injustice, an attack, or betrayal, never forgetting a grievance. Ah, no more, taught Patrick. God the Father, at the Transfiguration, pointed to his son, who himself would take care of bringing justice, as he would call us instead to peace and mercy, not constant feuding, letting justice, not through exacting a pound of flesh, but letting his flesh on the cross bring justice, not by disfiguring the body of an enemy, but by trusting in the power of his transfigured body. And wound number five, the Irish were divided. They were loyal to their own clan. They were suspicious and antagonistic to any other. No longer, taught Patrick, this beloved son revealed at his transfiguration wanted his blood to be more important than the tribal blood. He wanted his blood to pulse through the arteries of all who would follow him, uniting us into one clan, one body, one family, one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. From the hill of Tabor to the hills of Slane and Tara, from the rock of Calvary to the rock of Cashel and the rock of Kirkpatrick, would thunder the voice of God the Father, this is my beloved Son, listen to him, as they did St. Patrick. And they listened, and they believed. And we, in this rock of a cathedral dedicated to him, gathered to praise the one true God, Father, Son, and Spirit, are the sacred, noble beneficiaries, as the faith revealed by God to Abraham, taught by his son, carried by Patrick to Ireland, transmitted to the world by Irish missionaries, was brought here by emaciated immigrants, the faith of their fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. No wonder we sing and toast and dance and march tomorrow, all in the fragile light of a barely arriving spring, a light from the Transfiguration, a delicate light reflected upon Fifth Avenue by the glisten of the cathedral that bears the name of glorious St. Patrick. I believe in one God. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
For Pope Francis, for our shepherd, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, for all clergy, religious, and laity, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ. Let us pray to our Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among nations and within nations, and for those suffering in war-torn lands, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For this season of Lent will be a time of deeper conversion for our parish. Let us pray to our Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the sick, especially Pope Francis, Colin McVeigh, and Derek Dim, that they may experience solidarity with Jesus and with all the faithful, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Mary Boyle and all our beloved dead, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. We ask the powerful, unfailing intercession of the Queen of Ireland, Our Lady of the Golden Rose, Our Lady of Knock, and of St. Patrick, our patron, as we make these and all of our prayers through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Christ be with me, Christ.
pray now that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. May this sacrifice, O Lord, we pray, cleanse us of our faults and sanctify your faithful people in body, mind, and soul for the upcoming celebration of the Easter festivities through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty, our salvation, always, everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Heavenly Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For after he had told the disciples of his coming death, on that holy mountain, he manifested to them his glory in the Transfiguration, to show, even by the testimony of the law and the prophets, that the passion leads to the glory of the resurrection. So with the powers of heaven, we worship you constantly here on earth, and before your majesty without end, we now acclaim. Fount of all holiness, make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to into the fullness of charity. Together with Francis, our Pope, and Timothy, our Bishop, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all. We pray that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, with Saint Patrick, and with all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Deus dicere. From every evil, graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof.
Oh,
Let us pray. As we receive these sacred mysteries, we thank you, O Lord, for allowing us, while even still here on earth, to be partakers of the things of heaven through Christ our Lord. Did you notice our altar servers? They're from St. Stanislaw Koska Parish up in Pleasant Valley. Thanks for coming down. Glad you're here. You did a good job, no mistakes. So, the Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and our own Blessed Mother, the intercession of St. Joseph, to whom this month of March is devoted and whose feast we'll celebrate on this Wednesday, and through the intercession of our patron, St. Patrick, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Go in peace and glorify God by the way you live your life.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in singing our recessional hymn, which can also be found in the Blue St. Michael's Hymnal, hymn number 520, Faith of Our Fathers, 520.